Hello, dear travelers, and welcome to another episode of The Venture Maidens. Before we get hot and heavy, I want to let everyone know that myself, Katie, Sage, and Celeste were lucky enough to attend this year's D&D live event held here in LA, and we performed a special one-shot episode with some very special guests from You Meet in a Tavern and Very Random Encounters podcast to celebrate the launch of their newest adventure, Baldur's Gate: Descent into Avernus, which sends its players to hell. It was such a great event, and one of my favorite one-shots today because the new adventure is metal AF, and of course it's always magical whenever we get to play in person together, so you should really go check it out in case you missed the live stream. They have it now up on their official YouTube channel, the Dungeons & Dragons YouTube channel, if you want to get a taste of the new adventure without any spoilers. You can search for D&D Live 2019 Venture Maidens, and it's a great way to support us. Just give it a like and share it with all your friends. Tell people about it, please. And it is, of course, thanks to all our supporters and Patreon donors that the other maidens could even make it down here for this event. So thank you all so much for being there, for letting us continue to tell this story and be a part of this awesome event. Thank you also to Alex Shea and his website, Tabletop Tapes, for letting us use his music, and thanks to today's sponsors, D&D Beyond. You guys who have been joining us on our live streams know that we have been using D&D Beyond for a while now during the show because they have a very useful integration system with Twitch, so we can keep our viewers up to date in our current stats, in battle, each episode, as well as our abilities as we level up. Which I know I'm a huge fan of because I can't remember my own monk abilities for shit, and seeing all my combat options right there in front of me on screen without having to rifle through pages and text has really improved my own experience playing because, I mean, let's be honest, there's way too much to remember as you level up, and ain't nobody got time for that shit to sit down and commit that stuff to memory. It's 2019, and I never want to print anything out again. So please and thank you so much to D&D Beyond. You are my personal savior. And finally, let's remember what happened last time on Venture Maidens. Our heroes argued with an elder brain about handing over the unconscious ghoul doctor before finally fleeing the scene. They had a fitful sleep plagued by ghosts before pushing further into the asylum. They found some mysterious treasures in the late doctor's office, moved through an undead cafeteria, before finally locating their angelic quarry in a spooky children's ward. The angel Adriel confessed its distress, but before long decided they were no longer interested in talking, and pulled out a big ol' sword. And that's it! Now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our heroes have arrived at the final confrontation with their angelic quarry. What has caused this creature to fall? Can Kara survive her fracturing sanity? Will the maidens manage to free Amalthea from her plight? Find out in episode 60, Coup de Grâce.
Everybody, you should be able to see us here. Everybody should, let me just go ahead and refresh my browser to make sure. Yay! Hi! Hello, everybody! Welcome! Welcome back to the Venture Maidens podcast, episode 60, you guys.
Can you believe it?
60. That is so many episodes. I don't know why, 50 didn't seem like a big deal to me, but, 60 just kind of blew my mind today when I was thinking about that.
60 is the new 50.
We are that much closer to 69.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. We are going to have to go all out for 69. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be a crazy episode, y'all. I don't know. I don't even know. But anyway, hi. Welcome back to the Venture Maidens podcast. My name is Celeste Konowich, and I will be your dungeon master.
And hello, I'm Nassim Etemad. I am playing your human monk, Sayanor. And I just want to talk for a second about my awesome J-pop.
Whoa, what is it?
It's like a Japanese hard soda or sparkling water. And it's amazing. Oh. And it's 6.5%.
Oh, okay. So you're going to get crazy today. That's what we're hearing.
That sounds pretty excellent, I got to say.
It's peach flavored, the one I have right now. I tried it for the first time in Little Tokyo. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10. It's not actually from Japan, but it's Japanese.
Well, that sounds amazing. I've got a bright pink, the rosé cider, so I'm just going to live on sugar and it'll be great. But anyway, let's bounce it over. Wait, who's next? I forgot.
It's Sage, right?
Oh my god, that's right, because Brittany still isn't here. Oh, I'm never gonna get used to this. yes. Hello, I am Sage, and I play your determined barbarian Carbonhilda.
And I'm Katie, and I play your tiefling sorcerer, Farrah Valin.
Woo! Oh my gosh, you guys, are you ready? Things got weird last time.
I was born ready. It did get weird.
Yeah, it got weird. I was listening back to the episode today. I'm like, wow, all right. But speaking of last episode, you had just come through that final room now into this barricaded. And this looks like somewhere, it's a larger room, so about 50 by 30. We've determined, again, it had those like broken tables and then all of those paintings on the walls of like clouds and rainbows. So maybe this was like the children's ward, you're assuming. And,
so disturbing.
Yep. And after this conversation with Audrielle, who you know their name to be, Audrielle had listened to you for a time before the final thing they did was draw their sword made of pure light and accuse you all of being here. Maybe you are all deceived and the fact that you've come here, maybe you all have fallen for the mind tricks of this place, and it would probably be safer if they were just going to take care of you right now. And on that note, as Audrielle stands before you, this looming angel being made of this sword of pure light, I need you all to roll some initiative for me.
Woo!
Fantastic.
Woo! Let's dive
in. It begins.
In. I'm not using this die. I got
bad die.
I got a 12.
I also got a 12.
Ooh, I got a 14.
Wow, guys. Okay, Audrielle gets a natural 20. Cool. I hope this isn't a good indication here. All right. So as Audrielle stands before you, and they basically, you know, they had been turning around and writing on this chalkboard. The chalk now falls completely from their hands as they summon the sword of sunlight in front of you. And again, that sword, while it had been made of light, also crackled with this dark kind of lightning energy that seems to course through it. So like some kind of corruption towards this natural thing, and just its eyes flare with the fires of just fury and wrath. And very slowly, Audrielle begins to step forward into this room, and it swings its sword around easily in one hand, though the sword is about 9 feet long. Like, there's absolutely no way this thing should be able to wield it one-handed. But as it steps forward and points the sword at all of you, this heat begins to grow around all of you, and the very air vibrates with just this scorching, burning energy as just this strike of flame comes down upon all of you here. And I am gonna need you all to make this is dexterity checks, please.
Oh shit.
An 18.
Ooh, that's sweet.
Spell save DC 20. This is gonna be rough.
Unnatural 20.
I got 11.
Wait, I have a thing for this. I can roll my favor thing.
So, because right now Kara is the only one who saves, so I believe Kara will be taking half damage, yes.
I can add 2d4.
I will use my reaction to use my shield so I take no damage instead.
Fine!
Ha!
So I actually got a 24 with that.
Okay, then that will make it, so you will only take half. So that's going to be 19 fire damage.
Oh.
And then that's going to be 18 radiant damage. So 18 if you're taking half. Okay, and so what this is the flame strike spell, as Audriel just points this sword towards you, and this column of fire that completely fills up the area around all of you, floor to ceiling, just this holy scorching flame descends on all of you. And again, this black energy that almost makes it like, yes, it hurts as the light strikes you and the fire strikes you, but there's also this filmy, slimy quality to the magic that just leaves you feeling totally disturbed as this happens. And Audriel looks upon you all after it does this and cocks its head as it notices that you are all still standing in one piece. It was expecting you to go down. With that, Saye, we are up to you. So Audriel has moved about 10 feet closer to you, so now is about 40 feet away from you.
I guess it wouldn't matter, but I guess I'm going to move closer to it. And, first I'm going to throw my necklace. I'm going to throw a fireball at it. The necklace fireball thing.
Finding fire with fire.
I have all two right. left.
Woo. Ooh. Oh no. Okay. So I make a reflex. Dexterity save.
God, how many friggin' dice do I roll for that? I was like
8d6.
Ooh.
Gotta find them. One moment.
I did get a natural 20 on my dexterity save.
Oh, well, shit.
Oh, my God. So
I have rolled two 20s.
Get out of here.
Okay. Getting them all out early. Don't worry.
16, 19, 21, 25 plus 29, 31.
Okay. Or they will take 15 damage.
Good.
Yeah, and as the flames, again, fill up this room, and now this room is just so hot between the flame strike and the fireball that just went off, he is, like, literally climbing up the walls. You can see the flames, like, roiling up, because there's no, like, air out of this room, right? So it's all just this vault of heat that's cycling. Yeah, man.
Feels good to be a tiefling right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, ooh, it's like a Caribbean cruise. Okay, so, as this happens, Audriel does not seem to react in any way to indicate that they were just struck by a ball of fire. It just licks off their body. All right, and then, Farrah, we're up to you. So much fire! Everywhere!
Woo! She's gonna go and look over at Kara, and she'll, like, do a little woogity fingers at her and cast haste on her.
Woogity fingers.
Woogity fingers.
So I get an extra attack each turn?
You get a +2 bonus to AC, advantage on dexterity saving throws, and you gain an additional action at each of your turns.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. So I believe the action can be used to make an attack or...
Attack, dash, disengage, hide, use an object.
Great. Yeah. The only thing I'm going to do is attack. Fantastic.
Fine. Anything else, Farrah?
Nope. I'm good. I'm going to back up a little bit.
Yep.
Out of line of fire.
You can definitely... So you all were standing pretty close to those doors, so you can back out of the room, like back into the kind of the hallway area you came from.
Oh, I'll go to this side. I don't want to go out of the room, but...
Yeah, go to a corner. All right. And then Kara, what's up?
Having just had a massive amount of fire thrown my way, she is
a lot of fire.
Very angry. Her hair is singed. She has no eyebrows. It's been a bad fucking day already. And she gets all steamed up and her face turns bright pink, partially because of all the fire and hot and heat in the room. And she's going to use her bonus action to rage and run 35 feet over towards them and strike upon thine foe.
You can try thine holy foe.
Oh, yes, fantastic. All right, let's see here. I would like to do a goading attack.
Okay.
Oh, yes, that is a 27 to hit.
I wish I could say no, but that's all kinds of yes.
And they have to make a wisdom saving throw, which they're probably really good at.
a +6, I don't know.
They have to beat a 16.
Okay, but they rolled a 2. So, no. So
they have disadvantage on all attack rolls made on people, other than me until the end of my next turn. All right, and then let's see. All right, where's my? Where are you? D8, D8, D6. Okay, and then it's gonna be plus 4 is 18, plus 2 is 20 damage.
Ugh. Where are you hitting this, Angel?
So I think Kara, she would, yeah, just like, because it has its sword lifted and was pointed at us, would immediately go for the joint that's like, joint of the shoulder that's holding up the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then she slices through, and then she brings her hand down, is going to try and come up for the backswing.
Yeah. And as you get close to this being in front of you, the amount of heat, just energy coming off of this thing, and it's not like it's typical heat, it just feels like kinetic energy. Like this, it just has this aura around it of just power and magnitude that it makes you a little bit weak, like as you get close to thing, to stand so close in its presence. But yeah, it seems to, you know, it takes the blows, it considers you as this happens, as your blade, you know, just bounces sort of off of its green skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks down upon you, since it does stand about 7, I know,
it's like, what, like 6.5 feet
tall. Yeah, because it seemed to grow taller as it began to enter combat. So yeah, like 7.5. So Kara is probably up to waist level.
Exactly. So at her next strike, like she tries to take a strike towards like the hip, and she gets a 21.
Yes,
that's going to be 17 damage.
Okay.
And then for my second action.
Yes.
I'm going to attack again.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm loving these rolls. This die from Die Hard Dice is my new lucky die. It's so good. That's another 27 to hit.
Uh-huh.
15 damage.
Okay.
Second attack is an unnatural 20.
So on that one, for the haste action, you only get one attack.
Oh, okay. Cool. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So then, all right. Only 3 attacks per turn. Okay.
Only 3. Sorry.
Got it. All right. That is my turn.
That's it? Okay. That's all? All right. Okay. Then I will go to Audriel. All right. Oh, baby. What are we going to do? We got so many options. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Audriel is going to heft this sword over their head and spin it around in the most graceful movement you've ever seen, Kara, as Audriel will bring down this holy blade. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and assume a 26 is gonna hit you.
It does indeed.
So, let's see. Planetized weapon attacks are magical. It deals an extra 5d8 radiant damage. Sick. On top of its 4d6. Okay, so that is going to be 21 slashing damage. So that's gonna be an additional 22 radiant damage.
Ouch.
Okay, and so as it does this, it brings down the sword and it slices through. So it doesn't have mass, like as a traditional sword. So this swings down and goes through you. And rather than feel like the cut of a blade, it feels like the very like molecules in your body are being like singed and sunburnt, like as the sword moves.
I imagine it's like a searing pain.
Yeah, it's absolutely searing. Like as you feel it slash across your abdomen here. And then Audriel is gonna go in for its second swing. 29.
Da-da-do.
12, 17, 18, plus 7, 25 slashing damage, 22 radiant damage.
Holy Woof. Shit.
Okay, and then that is both of its turns. So as it does this, and so it brings the sword down in a neat X pattern as it cuts through you and flicks this blade off to the side. And as it does so, you see that the light of this begins to grow dimmer. So, like, the sunshine white of the blade starts to descend into this, like, kind of orange setting sun glow. And Audriel looks at the blade and looks back at you and seems, again, it just cracks its head on both sides and is preparing to finish you off. All right. And then, Saye, up to you.
Okay. My crossbow is loaded, so I'm going to fire.
Do it.
And which die? I'm going to use this one. 27 to hit.
Yes. And then... Absolutely. Okay. And your crossbow is not magical, correct?
Correct.
So as you see this crossbow bolt sink into this thing, it actually doesn't sink. It just kind of sort of dents its skin and then bounces off of it.
Okay.
Just, yeah, this green, strange skin that this thing has doesn't seem to be very affected by non-magical weapons at all.
All right, then it's done. I put away my crossbow and I take out my quarterstaff because that will count. I believe that will count as magical because it's a monk weapon.
Yes, I believe so. All right, so you do that.
And I'm going to hit him again.
All right.
Or move closer to him, yeah.
All right, and again, as you get within range of this thing, you also feel that same sensation that Kara felt, that just that strange warmth. Like, you're standing next to a holy creature. Like, something within you, too, sings, like, as you get close to this thing. But go ahead and try and hit this thing.
I'll poop. 14 to hit?
Nope. Again, just bounces off of this crystalline green skin.
All right. Well, then, one final action is a bonus action. I can hit him again.
All right.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Boom. Okay, so that was 26 to hit again.
Yes.
And then it's another D. Oh, no, it's a D6. Oh, no. We'll say we're doing it two-handed. It's a D8.
Okay. I believe you.
6 damage.
So you smack him.
Bad angel. Bad boy.
No. Stop it. All right. And then we are at you, Farrah.
Okay. So I'm going to use a sorcery point to do distance spell. And I'm going to heal Kara with a fourth level cure wounds.
Woo! Thank you.
Healers. Yeah.
Healers gotta heal.
19 plus 5. 24 points.
Sweet.
Oh, wow. Anything else for your turn, Farrah?
No, I'm pretty comfortable staying the fuck away from this thing, so I'm gonna stay
Fair.
Here.
Fair. Legit. But the opposite of that, hey, Kara, what's up?
Oh boy, I'm up in the business!
Yes.
Alright, so first things first, we're going to use our bonus action to try and use the shield to shove this thing down under the ground!
You can definitely try. This is strength.
Yes.
Okay.
Our opposed strength checks.
Let's do it.
23.
28.
Damn it! All right. I respect that. I see you.
Right, well, you try and you like run up against this thing's legs, right? Because you only come up.
Exactly.
And you're
she's
like,
grr! Bounces off his kneecap.
Yeah, and Audrey looks down at you. confused.
And she just like gets even more red and mad, yeah. And just and it was, brings up her sword to strike. Alright. So, ooh, that's cocked. There we go. Alright, first hit, first attack is a 25.
Yes.
Alright, second attack is a 27.
Yes.
Third attack is an unnatural 20.
Yes.
Alright, let's roll all these dice. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, jeez. 38
damage?
Yep, all together for three attacks. So she bounces off their knees and then goes immediately, like, for the back of the calves, swipes through its leg and then, like, up to the groin and then tries to just get a nice shiv into the stomach. And she's just like, God damn it, I hate being so short sometimes.
Yeah, as you're unleashing on Audriel, you begin to see that the skin itself starts to crack. That's the best way I could describe it. It's not like wounds are rending in the skin. There's no blood or anything. So you're just opening up this green skin. So they're becoming like open and flayed. Like, as this is happening.
Whoa.
Yeah, and Audriel seems to now look at you with a new appreciation of what's happening. They've seemed pretty checked out until this moment here. You are starting to do some damage.
All right, yeah, and that is my turn.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right, and with that, Audriel, as they are taking in their current state, they begin to whisper something. And Kara and Saya, you are close enough to realize they're doing something. Neither of you speak Celestial, correct?
I do not.
Okay. So Adriel is whispering and whispering, and then you all begin to hear noises from around the room. The sounds of quiet voices in many different languages, and then you begin to hear, like, giggling sounds, and the air itself starts to move and shimmer as you see forms, like ghostly spectral forms, move around the room. And you see that there are the forms of children laughing, playing, moving about this room. And then you begin to hear screaming coming from somewhere far away as these images are just running and confused and in chaos. And it's just, in Farrah, you feel them trying to run past you to, like, get out of this room. And you're not sure what's happening, but it's like a memory has been conjured in this place. I'm going to need all of you to make sanity checks for me.
Do we add anything to that?
That's whatever the score you decide. So you decided wisdom. So your modifier.
I got a natural one.
Sweet.
I got a 14.
17.
Ooh, Kara got a 14.
There goes Kara's last point of sanity.
Okay. all right. Fair, let's start with you. What is this? What is it, this, that drives Farrah a little bit worse for wear in the sanity department?
Yeah, you know, I think that so far she's been doing pretty well with, you know, all the creepiness going on around her and just getting past it. But I think that something about it being children this time and seeing the complete chaos of this sort of memory around her of, you know, youngsters screaming and knowing that she can't do anything about it at this point, I think that it puts a crack in her sunny disposition for sure.
Yeah. And you just can't get it out of your head. Like, even if you find yourself clapping your hands over your ears, but the screaming, it doesn't stop, and you don't know what's happening to these kids, but it's horrible. It's so horrible. And you know it. And Kara, what is it? What is the final straw here?
When she hears the screams of the children and sees them, like, trying to claw to get out, I think it calls back to mind when she first had an encounter with the drow as a pretty young adolescent, when they were, like, overrun by all these spiders and driders and these drow. And she just recalls that time when, like, her and her, like, troop were just overwhelmed and helpless, and remembering them, like, trying to claw to get out of this pit, and they're covered in spiders, and it breaks her. It just brings her back to this, like, dark place, and her mind just cracks.
And Kara, your vision goes black for a moment as these spiders just crawl on top of you and you can't get out, and you're certain that you're not sure if this is a memory or if this is happening right now, but you're certain that you're going to die. Like, this is the end for you, until you feel someone grab the back of your shirt and you're hoisted up in the air out of this pit, out of this blackness. And you see all around you a burning village, just completely overrun at this point. And again, you're trying to focus on what's happening. You're not sure if it's the drow. You're not sure if it's your village or if you're outside, but there's smoke and there's screaming and there's crying. And you see that standing next to you is Adriel, standing there in the middle, and they've just pulled you out of this pit. And as they're looking around the surroundings, you see this sword of light come out one more time, and they issue for you to follow them as they charge off into a burning building towards the sound of some screaming.
Kara definitely kind of shakes her head, comes to, takes a quick cursory glance around, and she definitely runs after them with sword and shield in hand.
Yeah, and as you do so, you find your weapons here, but you look down and you're in a much younger body of yourself. And again, it's just so hard to focus. Every time you try to, it's like when you're in a dream and those details just slide right past you, right? You can't grasp any of these pieces, but you know you're there and you're running, and Adriel is headed somewhere because you've got to do something. You've got to confront something. And you begin to hear a very, very low, rumbling voice that carries out from somewhere in the center of this chaos. One was the fear that you couldn't shake. And it rumbles, and the ground rumbles, like, as this happens. And Audriel looks back at you, panicked, and then pushes you on, trying to get you to come forward.
Hello, Venturers, and thank you for dropping in for Midroll. First, I just want to ask you guys to please help us out to keep creating great content for you. You can do this by donating to us on Patreon, and then you can swing around our Discord to become part of our community and have us thank you personally, and also ask any questions that you guys might have about the stream, or even me, fellow Venturers. And if you're thinking to yourself, I just can't get enough of these maidens, then please come and watch me and Celeste as we traverse our way through our adaptation of Rise of Tiamat every Monday night on the Nerd Immersion channel. And now, of course, we have our mid-roll sponsor. Today it is Iron GM LLC, and they have just launched a new Kickstarter for Grimmer Space. This new sci-fi horror Starfinder setting comes from none other than award-winning game designers Lou Agresta and Roan Barton. And as if that wasn't enough, it was developed by actor Sean Astin of Lord of the Rings and Stranger Things. Can he do no wrong? To the citizens of Grimmer Space, dealing with alien abominations from the depths is just a normal Tuesday morning. But now, evil Sunder Mages, near-immortal demigods of sorcery, have ripped into the cosmos, and through a vast purple tear in space and time called the Seethe, they are leaking through a new substance, magic. As this happens, the Sunder Mages plot to conquer the 5 distinct technological civilizations of Grimmer Space from the shadows. Soon, science and magic will come to world-ending blows. Who will win? We'll find out. You can find out more and check out the Kickstarter at grimmerspace.com. Well, that's it for Midroll. Thanks for listening. Now let's find out what will happen next on Venture Maidens.
And then, so the rest of you, what's happening here, Saye and Farah, you see Kara just drop. Just suddenly go completely from, like, mid-axe swing engaged with this creature to just a catatonic on the floor. And we are here in combat as Kara lays on the ground, and you begin to see some foam trickling out of the side of Kara's mouth, and this small seizure wreck her body.
Fuck.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay, and Audriel is going to extend their hand up towards all of you, and you begin to hear a buzzing sound coming from around you. And you're not sure how, since there aren't any windows or anything in here, but these swarms of insects start to appear, just clouding the room all around you as this is happening, just like these hordes of wasps and flies and just begin to swarm the space. So I need both of you to go ahead and make constitution saving throws for me.
23.
A
19. Okay. So the 19 is going to fail. So, alright. So we're going to start as these insects start to crawl and bite at your eyes and climb into your mouth and get everywhere you don't want them to be.
Not this again.
24 plus 7 is math. 31. Okay, so that's going to be 31 piercing damage on the fail, so 15 Saye on the half. And as long as you start your turn in this swarm, which has been plopped, conveniently in the middle of the room, so it's hitting both of you. You are going to have to repeat this save as more and more of these insects are just swarming and biting at you.
Jesus.
Cool. All right, and then Saye, so you are starting your turn. Oh, no, as long as you end your turn here. So you're starting your turn and you're fine, but if you end it in the locust swarm, you will have to take this damage again.
The locust swarm is just, like, around the angel?
Yeah, so he kind of, or they dropped it, like, in the center of the room. So right now it's, like, in the center hitting everybody. So you would have to move away from the angel to get out of the swarm.
I see. Well, Sai's real pissed. She now has no more sympathy for this angel because Kara has fallen. So I'm going to swap my quarterstaff for my short sword and instead attempt a stunning strike on the angel.
All right, go ahead.
22 to hit.
Okay, yes, that will do it.
And then it needs to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay, it did very poorly. It got a 12.
Perfect. Okay, so it's stunned until the end of my next turn.
But.
And then it's, what is it for damage? Cross did a short sword, d6, okay. Mm-mm-mm-mm. 9 damage.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna attack again for my extra attack. That's not gonna hit, because I rolled a 12. And then my bonus action to attack again, I'm gonna do that, and that's, again, a 22 to hit.
Yes!
And that's another 7 damage. Okay. And then I'm going to use my gift of the present and go another round.
Yes! Because the angel's, stunned, you should have advantage?
Is it advantage with stun? Let me double check.
I'm pulling up the DMG right now.
Makes sense to me.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm thinking so. Yes, you have advantage.
Hell yeah.
So go ahead and do it again and get advantage.
Hell yeah.
You are no angel. You are a demon and your god has cast you out because you have lost your mind. You are causing more harm than good. So be put to rest. And she takes another swing.
Fierce.
So advantage, I just rolled twice, yes?
Yes, and take the higher.
Okay, so that one, and that's going to be...
Motocicleta.
<laughs> 23 to hit.
Yes.
with 7 more damage. Extra attack. Not gonna hit that. Or is it advantage with every attempt?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so 21 to hit then on that one.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Another 7 damage. And then final attack. Okay, that doesn't do it. And that won't do it either, so I missed that last one.
Okay. You are taking serious chunks out of this angel, though. And as you're screaming at Audriel, it's trying to move away from your blows, but they're coming so fast from so many different angles that they can't seem to avoid them. And you're seeing their skin again fracture and break apart, and pieces are beginning to fall off as you're landing strike after strike after strike.
Yeah.
All right, and then Farrah. So you see, these locusts swarming. Oh, sorry, you're ending your turn in the swarm, so go ahead and make a constitution saving throw for me.
23.
Okay, so you will only take half damage. Or you don't, because you have evasion. 26. Because otherwise it's going to be 35 damage.
Yeah, I don't take any then, yeah. I shouldn't have taken any the last time either then.
Fine.
I'm just going to add 15.
Then remember. Okay. So you take no damage. You just pick those locusts right out of the air and you're like, nope.
Your flies are nothing.
Yeah, get out of here. All right. So Farrah, we're jumping to you. And you see Kara is seizing on the ground.
I think that for a moment, seeing Kara fall, who's been dealing chunks, and then having that moment of losing part of her sanity, and then the bugs return and are all over her again. She's like,
it's a lot.
She really, like, every, like, instinct in her body is like, go. But she's just gonna harden up and just spit out a bug, and she's gonna...
Hell yeah.
And she's just gonna go ahead and cast Mass Cure Wounds on the whole group before out of the bugs, because that sucks. Ooh, 2 8s. Okay, so that's 16 plus 3 is 19 plus 5, 24.
Whew! All right, 24 back, everybody.
Even me?
Yeah, mask your wounds, BB.
24?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay.
And then I'm going to move out of the box.
Yeah. So yeah, you like run to the other corner, you cover your mouth and just get like out of this range, this situation happening here as you drop this cure wounds. All right, Kara. So
all right,
as you continue to follow Adriel through this place, you eventually see that they kick down this flaming door of this building's on fire, and you hear just this screaming sound of a child coming from the other side here. So Adriel throws open this door and you run in directly after them. And you see that there's a small tiefling girl. She is sitting in one corner of the room. Her face is smudged with dirt. She's got a burn on one side of her face. She looks like she has an injury. And she's just screaming in panic at the top of her lungs. And Adriel raises their sword above their head. And takes that two-handed, like, about to make that, like, coup de grace.
No!
Yeah, what are
you- Oh my god. Oh man, when she has this moment of realization that Adriel is going to destroy this child, her eyes just go really wide, and with her shield and her strap to her left hand, she's just gonna go and she's just gonna body him and try and smash them down onto the ground to stop them.
Yeah, and you do so. Adriel was not expecting you to do this as you crash into this angelic form and they topple over to the side and they kind of lay there on the floor, stunned, looking up at you. This was what we came here to do. This is the enemy.
What are you talking about? It's a little kid.
That is a demon child.
What, because it's a tiefling?
Yes.
Hey, they didn't choose to be born that way. They didn't. Everyone has a choice in this life. No matter what your heritage is, no matter where you come from, who your parents were, no matter what the fuck, you always have a choice. And this child, they have a choice. And if you, and it is no right of you to take that away, and Kara stands, like, very protectively, like, mama bear in front of the kid, and, like, takes her, like, shield arm and like scoots her closer to her legs.
Mm-hmm.
To protect her.
Yeah, and as you do so, yeah, this girl is just sobbing, like just overwhelmed with everything that's happening and the screams and the cries going on, and just clutches like at your calf. And the ground begins to rattle again, and this voice, this omnipresent voice, just calls out, "Two were the vows you'll have to break." And everything is just shuddering, like, as the building itself quakes. And Adriel stares at you just in utter confusion. And again, no, this is what we were commanded to do.
Kara takes her sword and points it right at the angel's throat. I'm not gonna let you do this. This is how we save the children.
And as this happens, we phase out. Saye, what's your move?
Man, oh no, I was just so wrapped up. political justice being served. Okay, I will keep swinging then.
Yep.
Hack and slash. That's, ooh, a natural 20.
Woo. Hell yeah.
Get it. Woo. With 8 damage.
Okay, move.
An extra attack for 19 to hit?
No, that will not hit.
Dang. Oh, but I have advantage, right?
Yes.
That's okay, that won't hit either. All right, and then final bonus action. If I attempt to stun him again while he's already stunned, does that make it last another round, or it doesn't matter while he's already stunned?
So technically, Audriel's turn passed while it was stunned, so you can go ahead and try to stun it again, so it won't take an action on its turn.
Okay, final move then. I will spend another key point to try and stun him on this final blow.
Fine!
Okay, that one doesn't do it. Ooh, and another natural 20 to hit.
Okay, wow.
And
y'all are killing it!
Another 9 damage.
Ugh, okay. What does this look like, Saye? What are you trying to... What's the press? What's the move that Saye is going for?
I imagine, I don't know how accurate it is, but I imagine that he is focusing on a lot of things right now in like focusing on the locusts, trying to keep them swarming, and also fucking with Kara in their head. So she's using this to her advantage to like go all over the fucking place and sneak around underneath him, between his wings, at his arms, kind of like trying to hack at its limbs, really, like chopping off parts of its body. And yeah, going for all the joints.
And you're doing so. And this, yeah, this being, again, it, just like you said, is so far away as this is all happening. There's not only the madness that it was contending with and it's trying to deal with the situation. And now it's, yeah, there's definitely something going on with Kara. And it's just falling. Like, now it's getting weak. It's stepping into your strikes. And this is just getting too easy as you are obliterating this thing. But it still remains in front of you with the locusts swarming around you. So go ahead and make that constitution check.
For sure. Okay, well, that was a fail.
9 plus 3, 12, plus 6, 18, plus 10. So 28 piercing damage is coming your way. As these bugs are chomping on your tasty bits.
Blech.
Ew! Oh, it's very Old Testament up in here. Okay.
I love it.
Angel fight. All right, so you are going at this thing, and then Farrah, we come to you.
Seeing that he's looking like he's actually taking damage now, I think she's going to take her turn to try to add to that. So she's going to cast Shatter at 4th level on him.
Woo!
Fuck yes! Woo!
So that's a con save DC 17.
Oh, no, baby. It's doing terrible. 13. Yep, nope. My angel's so distracted.
Okay, so that's going to be 6, 8, 11, 13, and 18. I think that's, yeah. So 18 damage.
Ugh. All right. And as this happens, I think what you're aiming for, or what is clear to you, you see this sword made of light, which again has been fading now. So it's almost this grayish red, like the color of dying embers. And as you send out this shatter spell, you see the blade itself just disintegrates. And just these wisps of light come off of it. And Saya, you're kind of shocked by like the shattering sound, but there's no actual metal shards. It's just the light dissipates. And Audriel looks at its empty hand now and looks like at the locust flying around and just between the two of you, and it's shaking its head and is whispering again in that language that you don't understand, as it seems to be getting scared now and starts kind of back itself up like into a corner. Anything else for your turn, Farrah?
No, but is he close enough that I can hear the whispering, or I'm too far up?
I think you're back too far up, and over the sound of the bugs, like, in the room.
Yeah, no, I'm, like, my eyes twitching right now.
there's no chance there.
Sure, I feel that. Okay, yeah, that's gonna be my turn.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Kara. So, as you say this, and you hold your blade to Audriel's throat, their face begins to change. It begins to, like, singe at the very edges, so it looks like its green skin is starting to burn away. As you see the flames around you, the flames of your village, the flames of a village, wherever this tiefling girl is, and wherever you are, and wherever you've been, this is all coalescing and forming into this giant memory of your experiences and Audriel's, and you're not really sure what's going on here, but suddenly Audriel, as you've seen them, is no longer standing there in front of you. You see this older human woman, graying hair, kind of plump in the face. She looks like that type. You look at her and go, yeah, you're a mom. And she's standing there in front of you with these, like, this dirty apron on. And she looks down, like, at her hands that are, like, broken and worn from hard labor, like a lifetime of hard labor. And she looks around and she looks at the child that's sobbing and clutching at her calf. And she says, oh, I think I understand. I was so angry. But it's not too late for you. I had a family once, and I couldn't save them. But you can save yours. They sit on the edge of forever, waiting. waiting for you to free them. And you see tears fall down, like her dirty, stained face. And she begins to burn. Just her skin, her sinews, everything just starting to burn away there. And this child clutched about your calf begins to fade away. And everything starts spinning, like in the charcoal and the black smoke and the flames of this place. And Saye, we're jumping to you. This angel now is now without a blade. And you, somewhere in your periphery, you've realized that Kara has stopped finally seizing on the ground. Kara is laying quiet, and this angel is backed into a corner. Locusts still buzz around you. There's still some life to this thing.
Yeah. She briefly considers whether or not to engage in dialogue with it one last time. But only briefly. And she's going to strike again.
Yes.
Natural 20.
Oh, I love it. Get it!
Thank you, Die Hard Dice.
Oh my god. Yes, do it.
6 damage.
Okay, yes.
Extra attack.
Yes.
It's not stunned anymore, right?
It is.
Okay, then I'm going to take advantage on this. And okay, that one doesn't hit. Final swing. That one doesn't hit. That one will hit because it's a 27. And 6 damage.
Tell me how you want to end this angel baby's life.
Yes!
So it's very quick. As I said, she pauses for a moment to see that he is suffering. It is suffering. It is considering what's going on. But then she once again takes that to her advantage and runs, thrusting her sword first up across its entire chest, back down, and then like through the base of its head, through the jugular, up to the skull.
Yeah. And as you make that final strike and you feel that deafening, like that crunch, like as you see its head is jolted up and it falls forward onto your blade more, so you're bearing the weight of this full thing, the swarming sounds dissipate and you hear that pounding in your ears like a final combat before, like utter silence fills this room, and you see those two eyes that looked like burning suns are still focused on you even with your sword driven through it. And you kind of, you know, you let it down as it slumps and comes to both of its knees there. And the skin begins to fade away. It grows smaller. And you feel, you smell, yeah, ozone and charring as just smaller and smaller this thing becomes. And the green begins to fade. And you see just this woman in front of you, this maybe 40-something woman. Just crumples on the ground, and the eyes go out, and there's a small smile, and then she just burns away, and you see there are these trails of ash in her place. And Kara, at this point, you begin to stir, and you regain consciousness.
She slowly grunts and sits up. It's just like half leaning on the ground on her elbows and rubs her head and she's, ugh. The weirdest thing just happened. Wait, oh my, and then she immediately bolts up and is like, wait, what's, and she's like looking around ready like, ah.
Oh, Saya runs to you and like drops her sword and like grabs you in a hug and is like, oh my god, you're awake, thank god. Are you okay?
Kara, like, as you throw yourself in her, she kind of stumbles back a little bit, and then she drops her weapons, her sword and her shield, and she hugs you. She says, yeah, I'm okay.
Good. It's gone. I did it. I actually did it.
From behind
you. Oh, sweet. That's awesome. Yay. Way to go. And she, like, gives you a hard clap on your shoulder.
Oh, thanks.
As this is happening, and you all are, you know, reuniting in the center of the room, and everything's great, and everything's okay, Farrah.
Until.
Farrah, your hand starts to burn. Like, at first, it's just the very tips of your fingers, and then it's like the center, it begins to shoot like this radiating pain into your left palm. And as you kind of like raise your hand, like the skin begins to shimmer and like burst with this like white hot light all of a sudden, as you see this symbol begins to etch itself into the center of your palm. And then you're gone. You're not where you were standing before. You're suddenly standing on this grassy field, this just large expanse, blue skies overhead. And just this field seems to stretch out for just miles and miles. And you see that there are these tiny white and yellow flowers that are dotting the space all around. It's absolutely beautiful with this cool breeze, like moving past your face. And in the center of the field, you see that there are figures standing there. There are three women. And as you look at them, they seem old, but you look again and they're not. They're young women, but or middle-aged. You're having a hard time telling. Farrah's never actually seen the sisters before. After a lifetime of devotion, has never actually seen them. And they stand in this field. And it's very odd because they're swathed in these like black clothes and like scarves. You know, they look like they're freezing cold standing on the middle of this field, right? And they're all kind of hunched over there, standing together. And then immediately across from them, like maybe like 15 feet away or so, is probably the tallest, you want to say a man, but that's not quite right when you look at him. It's like a man who's just been stretched out to this great height, maybe 15, 20 feet tall or so, and has these long, pale, pointed ears and just this definite fae-like appearance. And it's hard to look directly at him. It's so much light and warmth and radiance coming off of this figure. And he looks at the three sisters who are hunched over there, and you're standing so far away, and you're not sure how you can hear this conversation. But the sisters look up at this figure without any trace of fear, and they say, "You abandoned one of your own. It is a shameful thing to do to one's child." And this figure on the other side looks at them, and you can tell this is a look that would scorch most beings. But the sisters just look defiantly up and wrap their shawls a little bit closer.
I love angry old women.
Yeah. Around themselves. And the figure nods once without ever saying a word, and you feel a burning set of eyes turn towards you as this figure notices you. And then it's gone. And you're back, standing in this room as this moment just flashes back. And you weren't actually gone. It was just this fade of memory. But you see that there is a Sisters of Sorrow emblem now upon your palm.
Yay!
Oh, that's so exciting.
And I think that's a good spot to end for today. On that note,
welcome to the team!
Thank you! Yes. Like a dream.
So some things happen. So everybody is going to level to level 10. We're going to be level 10 now!
Fuck y'all. Double digits. Unstoppable.
Yes.
Oh my god.
And Farrah, you gain a gift. Let me tell you.
What's your gift? I didn't even think about that part.
You gain the gift of the Weaver. So, what happens is that once per long rest, you can use your reaction to give any of your teammates a point of inspiration.
Ooh.
And that is as a reaction, so they can use it immediately.
Okay.
So you can't use it for yourself, but you can bend the threads of fate to give your teammates an advantage.
That's so cool.
Bit of luck.
Welcome. Welcome. All right. Well, damn, guys, that was awesome, and I had a great time, and I hope you all had a great time, and I have been Celeste, your Dungeon Master.
I have been your successful human monk, Sayanur, played by Nassim.
You kick so much ass, girl.
So much ass. Three natural 20s ass.
Oh my god. That was unreal. It was so good.
Feelings I'm not used to.
It was amazing. And I have been your brave barbarian, Kara Brunhilde.
And I have been your new team buffer, Vera Belen.
Yes, so thank you everyone for tuning in, and until next time,
Venture away!
Venture away, everybody.
Hey adventurers, it's narrator Paul to tell you about Empire of the Ghouls. It's the first 5th edition campaign from Kobold Press for characters level 1 to 14 that takes your heroes deep into the realms of the undead. Explore a kingdom of terror and blood ruled by vampires, and far below the earth in the Underdark, a mighty Empire of Ghouls. This is a massive 5th ed campaign that will include new Underdark lore, as well as tons of undead monsters, magic, and more, with both an adventure book and a player's guide. The Kickstarter is live now, but ends Friday, May 31st. It's already funded and blowing away stretch goals. Go find out more at koboldpress.com/kickstarters.